Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load. I am speaking, of course, here we are today speaking to writer Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. Glad to be here.
Yes, sir. So, let's talk about this. Young Gabriel Metcalf, Billings, Montana, the same, the, you know, we've been following this story since, wow, when did this happen? Yeah, it's been a while.
Over a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, over a year. Okay, well, just to give a little recap of the story, is that Gabriel Metcalf had a and his mother had a restraining order against a neighbor who was terrorizing them, and they feared for their lives and for their pets, and so Gabriel was keeping watch outside of his home, and he had a 20-gauge single-shot shotgun and his cell phone, and the police had told him that he needed to get video of the person if he was breaking this restraining order for them to do much. So he was trying to do that. The person had threatened their lives and had been convicted of assault on him. So it wasn't just, this isn't just vaporware. It was a real threat. Well, the local police did not like him sitting outside the home with a shotgun.
Right.
You know, just a single shot Rossi 20 gauge. And so they talked to him, and he said, I'm within my rights. And they told him, well, we can't arrest you. We don't have anything that we can arrest you with. But then they talked to their friends in the ATF, and they believed they might be able to arrest him on the Gun-Free School Zone Act. Now, Gabe has no history of violence and no criminal history. So they... Actually, Gabe and his mother were trying to get some help. They thought the federal ATF might help them because they didn't think the local police were doing the right thing. So they called up them, and the ATF used the occasion to arrest Gabriel on a charge of violating the Gun-Free School Zone Act. Now, there are very few cases where people are arrested on the Gun-Free School Act, and it's my belief the reason that is so is the law was already found unconstitutional in 1995 in
right.
U.S. v. Lopez. And then the Janet Reno and President Bill Clinton managed to get a few words changed in the law, claiming that it only was effective when the gun had moved in interstate commerce, which is a pretty shallow claim to make that the federal government has power in this area. Since then, there have been 8 circuits that have ruled on gun-free school zone claims. 5 of them ruled that the change in the wording cured the constitutional defect. 3 have ruled it doesn't. And since then, just in 2022, we had the U.S. v. Lopez decision, which clarified the Heller decision and what you need to use to decide if a law infringes on the rights protected by the Second Amendment or not. In my opinion, the Gun-Free School Zone Act clearly infringes on rights protected by the Second Amendment, because most people, if they have a firearm and they step outside their home and they're within 1,000 feet of a school, are now in violation of the Gun-Free School Zone Act, and yet the Second Amendment under Bruin says you have a right to bear arms outside your home. So most federal prosecutors seem to have been careful about what cases they would charge under the gun-free school zone.
Right.
Well, the thing with Gabriel Metcalf is it's a very clean case. You know, he wasn't shooting at police as he sped by the school. You know, he lives across the street from the school. He's got a clear reason why he felt necessary to defend himself. He wasn't, I know this doesn't, it really doesn't make much difference in the case, but he wasn't carrying an AR-15, had a single shot Rossi shotgun.
Right.
So it makes it a very good case to challenge the gun-free school zone. Now, to get to the point where you can challenge it, the attorney in this case who is defending Gabriel, his name is Russell Hart. He's a federal defender, and he seems pretty sharp, I have to say. And he filed a motion to dismiss the case back in October. I think it was October 10th of 2023 on Second Amendment grounds. And Montana has a statute that says that if you are legally able to own arms in Montana, then you are individually licensed under the gun so as to meet the requirements of the Gun-Free School Zone Act. And he said the case should be dismissed under either one of those points. But the judge, the federal judge in the case, Susan P. Waters, she is an Obama appointee, for those who want to know, ruled against that motion and said, no, the law is constitutional. It meets the requirements. So in that interpretation, then, the only way to get to the appeals court would be for Gabriel Metcalf to be found guilty of a violation of the Gun-Free School Zone Act. If he was found not guilty in a jury trial, there wouldn't be any means to a reason to appeal because he was found not guilty. Now, there might be a civil lawsuit possibility. I mean, it's not clear on that. But the potential penalties were 5 years in jail and a $100,000 fine. Well, I thought it was $10,000, but I know that in one of the papers I read, they said it was $100,000. I think they're wrong. I think it's $10,000.
Right.
Anyway, So the prosecution offered a plea deal. Actually, they offered two plea deals. Gabriel turned down the first one, and he was not really willing to take the second one because he believed, and I think with good reason, that he hadn't done anything wrong. But when he started looking at what evidence would be allowed in the case, in the court, he changed his mind. The judge said there'd be no evidence allowed as to why he was carrying the gun, because the Gun-Free School Zone Act doesn't have any exceptions for self-defense or defense of others. And he wouldn't be allowed to put forward any information arguing the constitutionality of the law, because she'd already ruled about that on the prior motion to dismiss. And let's see. Oh, and there was a tape recording of Gabriel talking to federal officers when he was explaining the situation, and the jury would not be allowed to hear that because the name of the person that was harassing Gabriel and his mother was in that, and they had agreed not to bring his name up in court.
Right.
So given those circumstances, he accepted the second plea deal, which seemed not too bad. No jail time.
Well,
probation.
Hold on right there, if you will. Hold on right there, if you will. Because we're coming up on the first break. This is we're talking about Gabriel Metcalf, Billings, Montana. Dean has been the only one I know of that covered this, and he has covered it from start to finish. And it has been a very perplexing case. And hopefully this means maybe it might be getting close to be over if it's not over already. But in any event, we'll finish this on the other side when we get back. Find this at Ammoland.com, talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
Mm-hmm. such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. Talking to Dean Weingarten. I got a question about this, though. I got a question before you go any further with this. Because it makes me wonder what would happen if you played these stupid games with them. So Clinton and Reno lobbied for a change in the law based on if the firearm had moved via interstate commerce, right?
Correct.
So what if they, if that was all that gave them the ability to regulate or the authority to regulate possession of the gun, what would stop a gun company from having a local office in every state where they could, you know, say they were, you know, sold locally? And what, yeah. would,
And Montana has passed a lot of that effect, I think, and some other states have been looking at it, maybe even have passed some laws.
Right.
But what we see is then they attack it on other grounds. They say, well, it affects interstate commerce because the tooling that you used to make the gun was moved in interstate commerce, or the gas that you used in your car to get from one place or another moved in interstate commerce. Of course, it's an absurd argument because almost everything has some connection to interstate commerce at some point or another. So if the argument that they made, Reno and Clinton, which, like I said, has not gotten back to the Supreme Court. The Commerce Clause argument has never been heard again by the Supreme Court after U.S. v. Lopez. And it's an absurd argument because virtually everything can have some tie-in to interstate commerce. And if that's the case, if everything is covered by interstate commerce, then there's no reason to even talk about interstate commerce. It's just commerce.
Right.
So you have to have a clear differentiation on what is interstate commerce and what is not. And that's what Clarence Thomas put out the most articulate and clear arguments on this. And in U.S. v. Lopez, he was able to persuade four other justices that just mere possession of a firearm within so many feet of a school was not interstate commerce. Since then, they haven't heard another case on it. But they did hear a case called U.S. v. Raich, which was about people growing marijuana in their own home for their own use. And in that case, Justice Scalia wrote that, well, you know, if they're growing marijuana in their own home for their own use, then they won't be buying marijuana that could have come across state lines. Therefore, it's interstate commerce, which is the absurd argument I've been talking about. And it was sad that it came from Justice Scalia, but it just seemed to me he was such a dedicated drug warrior that he just couldn't give up on the idea that you had to be able to stop people from growing marijuana for their own use. That's my take. So we don't know. I mean, we've seen that there is a tendency to exclude some things from interstate commerce. And I don't know, so far, that argument has not been made in this case, in this particular case with Metcalf, U.S. v. Metcalf. The defending attorney has not mentioned interstate commerce so far. And the Ninth Circuit is one of those circuits who said that the phrase, you know, the gun moved in interstate commerce is, they say that's sufficient to cure the constitutional defect in the original law. So the defense that Russell Hart has put up so far is that the law is unconstitutional under Bruin, and I think he's absolutely correct. And he has also put forward the defense that Montana specifically created its law, I think it was in 1996, called, I think it's the Individual Licensure Law, and it says if you can legally own a firearm in Montana, you have individual licensure from the state that is sufficient, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, sufficient to meet the requirements of the Gun-Free School Zone Act. And it was designed, it appears to me, specifically for this kind of situation. So it's possible that an appeals court will find one or the other of those arguments correct. They don't have to find both of them, and it's unlikely they would, because if they find one of them to be correct, they just say, well, that's it, we don't have to go any further. So I think an appeal will be filed short. The plea agreement specifically exempts or keeps alive the right to appeal this on the constitutional and Montana statute grounds. That's on page 7 of the plea agreement, and I have a link to the plea agreement in this story. And it specifically keeps the ability to appeal. And I think it well happen. The federal defender in this case, within the last year, I believe, well, it might be a year and a half now because the case has been going on for a while, appealed a peripheral gun case to the Ninth Circuit and won it in front of a three-judge panel. In that case, the question was whether the offense was a felony conviction for the purposes of the law and whether this person's possession of a gun then meant that the penalty would be enhanced by another 10 years in jail. And I might have a little bit of that wrong, but I think that's essentially correct. And he won that case in the Ninth Circuit. So he knows the procedures. He's familiar with the firearms law. He understands the arguments, the constitutional arguments in this case. I mean, it appears to me he set everything up for an appeal. So I'm pretty sure he will be filing an appeal reasonably soon. Now, because Gabriel has pled guilty, that means he has clear standing to appeal the case on both constitutional and the Montana statute grounds. And that's not always easy to come by. And because he has no other criminal convictions and no history of violence, it makes it an even better test case. So that's what's going on with the case. Now, I just don't know how it will come out, but it looks pretty good to me. The problem is the Ninth Circuit historically has been very hostile to a robust Second Amendment. And even if the amendment is held, you know, a law is held to be unconstitutional as infringing on the Second Amendment, they tend to then overrule a three-judge panel and take it to an en banc court, which would be an 11-judge panel. Normally, the en banc would be the entire court, but in the Ninth Circuit, it's so huge, they make it an 11-judge panel.
How about, hold on right there for me, if you will. We're coming up on the next break talking about Gabriel Metcalf, Billings, Montana, all the stuff that he's had to go through, all the stuff that may or may not come along. It's been a really interesting case. It's been one of those that I have really wondered about. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Barron Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained, the one. And he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
USA News Update. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says recovery of the missing construction workers presumed dead is still the top priority at the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse.
We need to continue to focus on recovery because we have to bring a sense of closure to these families.
Speaking on Friday, Moore said the situation remains complex as crews work to clear the harbor to eventually get it back open. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said that lowering interest rates would not be suitable until officials are assured that inflation is progressing towards the Fed's 2% target goal. Speaking from San Francisco Friday, Powell referenced the latest inflation data, which he indicated aligns with the central bank's projections. Beware of fake eclipse glasses, experts warn. The American Astronomical Society advises using approved glasses on April 8th, ensuring they're designed to block nearly all visible light. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten. We're talking about Gabriel Metcalf, that case out of Billings, Montana, the gun-free school zone case. And I had to interrupt you. Go ahead and let's finish this up if we can, and let's hear right. What we hear.
Well, I've mentioned before that this is probably one of the best, it's probably the best test case I've ever seen to take to the higher courts to appeal that the law is unconstitutional under the Second Amendment. And it's very hard to make an argument that it isn't unconstitutional using the criteria put forward by Bruin. And now, as soon as an appeal is filed, I would expect to start seeing amicus briefs from the heavy hitters in the Second Amendment community, you know, like Second Amendment Foundation and others, maybe the NRA, filing to make clear arguments as to how this case, this law, is clearly unconstitutional under the Second Amendment.
Right. I guess we'll see. Now, do we know if any of the organizations out there are conscious or aware of this particular?
I believe that at least a couple of them are. I know some of them read my articles on AmoLab, so they're probably waiting for the appeal to be filed. I've been told it's very unusual to put forward an amicus brief at the district court level, but which is where this case just is finishing up right now. But once it goes to a three-judge panel, which would be the next level of appeal, then it's very common for, I've seen many, many amicus briefs filed for three-judge panels at the Ninth Circuit. So I expect it'll happen. I mean, one of the things is it's such a beautifully clear case, and it's so obviously unconstitutional. There's just no historical precedent for just simply declaring that within 1,000 feet of some place, nobody can carry a gun around.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, there is no history of that in the United States, so it's, I just don't see it as passing constitutional muster. The way that Judge Susan Waters made her claim that it passed constitutional muster is that in 1776, 1986, there was a law passed in Delaware, as I recall, which said that organized bodies of troops could not be within a mile of a polling place on election day. But it didn't say individuals couldn't be within a mile of a polling place on election day. And that law was repealed in just a little bit. So there's no historical evidence that you can just declare guns to be illegal within some distance of some place. It just doesn't exist. So that's what I think will be the focus. The more interesting question is whether the court might look again at the Montana statutory question.
Right.
Because that's the statute. The intent of the statute is clear, and that is to say anybody who can legally own a firearm in Montana is not subject to the gun-free school zone law. And what Judge Waters said was it's not individual enough. The Gun-Free School Act requires an individual licensure, and even though the Montana statute says it's giving an individual licensure, nobody actually looked at this particular individual to see if he met requirements or not, therefore it doesn't apply. So it's a little tougher argument to make than the clear unconstitutionality of the Gun-Free School Zone Act.
I guess we'll have to see. This is one of these things that you look at it and you're like, I really can't believe this is going this way.
Yeah, and this plea bargain, I probably would have taken it if I'd have been in his shoes.
Right.
I mean, because no jail time, there's no mention of a fine, there's probation for unknown amount of time. I mean, you don't want to plead guilty to something that you believe is unconstitutional, but at the same time, it preserves his right to challenge the constitutionality of it in the appeal process.
Right.
So it removes this potential of going to the federal jail for an unknown amount of time and possibly being subject to all the dangers therein and possibly having to pay a large fine. But the sentencing will not be until August 7th. So I expect the appeal to be filed well before August 2nd. So we will see what happens.
Indeed. Indeed we will. So shall we move to the, the bear story?
Right.
This is bears are not bulletproof, but you got to aim in the right spot, I guess. So tell me about this.
Okay, well, one of the persistent myths about shooting bears in defense is that their skulls are so tough and hard that bullets tend to bounce off of them. And it's not completely wrong. If you examine a bear's skull carefully, and I have, you find that the brain is not exactly where most people think the brain would be when they're used to looking at a human skull. If you shoot a human between the eyes, the bullet's going to go into the brain. But that's not necessarily the case with a bear's skull. A bear's eyes are set pretty wide apart, and they're high enough in the skull that if the bear's nose is pointing directly at you, and you shoot between the eyes but are maybe a half inch high, there's a good chance you're going to miss the brain altogether. And you may not even touch the skull, but will cut a pretty significant bloody groove in the hide and flesh and fat that's above the skull. Almost all the bear's brain is below the level of the eye. So that if you want to aim to hit a bear's brain and the nose is pointing right at you, the best place to aim is right up the nose. And there's channels inside the bear skull that go from that nose directly to the brain, and the bone is not very heavy. So it's going to almost guide a bullet directly into the brain if you shoot it up the nose. And the other thing is, if you shoot a bear in the eye, if the bear is looking right at you, the eyes are placed off to the side of the brain. And you can hit a bear directly in the eye, and the bullet will miss the brain entirely. And what we find when we look at people who have shot at bears, a lot of them make decisions based on where they think the brain is and how tough they think the brain, the bear's skull is. And some have avoided shooting at the brain because they think a bullet will just bounce off. So instead of taking a clear killing shot at the brain, they try to hit it in the chest or the shoulder, or they avoid a shot because the only shot they have is right at the brain. And that's just not correct. If you know where the brain is and you aim to put the bullet in the brain, you have a good chance of putting it there. The bear's skull is not so super tough that you can't penetrate it to the brain. The big thing is that there's a ridge of bone just at the level of the top of the eye that's sort of reinforced and thicker. And so if a bullet hits there, it is possible for the bullet to deflect off the brain because it's at a very shallow angle. But if you hit that bear from the side, or up the nose, as we saw with the Bella Twin incident back in 1953, even a .22 long bullet and a huge grizzly can go through the side flesh and into the brain without too much trouble.
Hang on right there, if you will. Talking about the bears with Dean Weingarten, this is Lock and Load.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life Crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Guam immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Last time on the firing line, we're talking to Dean Weingarten about bears. Where should you shoot a bear? Don't aim in the wrong spot with the bear. So once again, picking it up.
That's right.
Yeah.
And mostly it's about the brain. Because and a bear's heart and lungs are further forward than they are in a lot of other animals too. So you have to shoot well ahead of the midline of the body to get into the heart and lungs. But this article is about the brain, and we have a case in November 1986 where a hunter had a .454 Kazoo. It's a very powerful revolver. It's more powerful than a .44 Magnum by a good bit. And he was confronted this large grizzly bear at 10 feet away on a gravel ridge. He couldn't. He had nowhere to go. So he aimed at the bear's eye, and he shot. And then the bear started whirling around, and he fired two more times at the bear as it was moving. And his guide said, "Where were you shooting?" And he said, "I hit him. I shot him right in the eye." And his guide said, "Well, then you'd have a dead bear." But that's not true. Because if from a frontal shot aiming at the eye, you'll almost certainly miss the brain. And what happened in this particular case is he hit just barely above the eye, and it skirted alongside the skull but did not go into the brain. And then when it was whirling around, he shot at it a couple more times, and one of those shots hit the bear in one of its feet. Later on, they shot that bear with rifles, and that's when they found out where his pistol shots had gone. That's how we know where he hit. And then there's another case, a couple of cases, where people avoided shooting at the brain, and it probably was because they were trophy hunters. And a very famous handgunner is Larry Kelly. He invented the Magnum port. And he was hunting bears, it would have been in the probably 1980s. And he had a .44 mag with him and a Wildcat cartridge and a single shot. And this grizzly bear, they were in a little hunting shack on the coastline. And a grizzly bear kept coming, and they shot in front of it. The guide shot in front of it to deter it, but it wasn't going to be deterred. And they retreated into the shack, and the bear came right up into the doorway and pushed his head and shoulders inside. And the guide missed it, apparently, or tripped, falling backwards over something in the shack. And Larry Kelly fired at it, and he said it was only 3 feet away from him. And he had this .44 Magnum, but did he shoot it in the brain? No. He shot it in the chest. And he said the bear looked at him like, what's going on? And then the guide shot at the bear, and then he shot at the bear some more, and it left to the shack and started running away. And then Kelly shot one more shot at it from his secondary pistol as it was running away, and they killed the bear. But what I find interesting on this is that Kelly's a very, very practiced and capable handgunner. And a bear's brain is about the size of a pint jar. A big bear's brain is about the size of a pint jar. Well, with a pint jar sitting there, it's pretty hard to miss it if you know where it is.
Right.
From 3 feet away. But he didn't aim for the brain. He aimed for the chest. And I think it's because he knew and probably had been told, if you shoot the bear in the brain, it destroys the skull for any trophy or record-keeping measurements. And the big hydrostatic pressure that comes from a bullet going into that cranial cavity just fractures the brain often into numerous pieces, and you can't really measure it, and it's hard to make them out with it. And, you know, you no longer have a skull, just a skull that's in a bunch of pieces. So trophy hunters, I think, have helped to promote this idea that you don't shoot a bear in the brain. And another hunter who had to kill a grizzly bear, a brown bear, in Alaska with a 10-millimeter, he's one of these rare people who had to kill grizzly bears twice. And the time he had done it previously, he was hunting moose, and he had a bear tag, but he had a rifle, a .338 Magnum. Probably, I think, the Remington Magnum. And he hears something as he's stalking this moose, and he turns around, and here's a big grizzly bear padding up on him from behind. And it wasn't stopping. Wasn't in a full-out charge, so he turns around, and it was so close, he couldn't use the scope. And so he looked down the barrel and pointed it and fired, and the bear went down in a heap, and he was trying to hit it in the head. So he goes a little ways away. He figured the bear was dead, and he's, I don't know whether he was going to get other people to help or what was happening, but all of a sudden he hears a noise, and he looks, and here's the bear, a big brown bear, twirling around in circles where he shot it. And so he takes his .338 and he shoots it in the neck and breaks the spine and kills it right there. And the bullet, after hitting the spine, didn't exit the hide on the other side, which I thought was interesting for a high-powered rifle like the .338. But what had happened is when he shot the bear without the benefit of sight, the bullet went right alongside the skull but didn't penetrate the brain. It went right alongside it, and the concussion of that powerful bullet under the skin, but right next to the skull, knocked the bear silly. And so it knocked him out, and then when he came to, he wasn't clear-minded. He just knew he was hurting, started running, whirling around in circles. So you can miss the brain and knock out a bear, and it's easy to miss the brain if you're aiming where the bear's brain is not. And I think that's a large part of the mythology of bear skulls being bulletproof. If you aim to miss the brain, you're going to miss the brain.
Right.
Finally, there's a case, a very sad case, that happened in Alaska in 1992. And it was a case of a .22 revolver. Well, don't tell us whether it was a revolver or a handgun. You know, they just said it was a .22 handgun. So it could have been a semi-automatic. And this is the case of Michael and Darcy Staver. They were in Glen Allen, Alaska, and a black bear came in through a window into their cabin. And they ended up retreating and climbing onto the roof of their cabin to get away from the bear.
Right.
And they had this .22 handgun. And the husband was Michael. And it says he fired several shots to scare away the bear. But Larry Canute, who interviewed him, said that he very specifically aimed to miss the bear because he did not want to enrage it. So if you decide not to shoot at a bear because you're afraid you're going to make it mad, it's very hard for your shots to be effective. So the bear went away, and Michael decided to go get help, leaving his wife, Stacy, up on the roof. He takes the pistol with him, thinking he's the one in greater danger. He gets the neighbor with a rifle, comes back, and when he gets back, the bear had found a way onto the roof, had killed his wife, and was feeding on her body when he got back, and they killed the bear with the rifle. But my point is, if he'd have shot directly to hit or kill the bear, he probably could have done it with a .22.
Right.
Black bears are notorious that if they get hurt, they will tend to retreat. And many, many black bears have been killed with .22 rimfire because they're often not moving super fast, and you have opportunities to shoot them in the brain. And even if you shoot them in the lungs, they will usually die. It may take a little while for the lungs to fill up with blood and for the lung to collapse, but it usually happens, and they usually die. Even if you shoot them in the abdominal cavity, if the bullet reaches the abdominal cavity, because obviously if they've got a fair amount of fat on, you could hit in the fat and not penetrate into the cavity.
And that's going to have to be the last word because we have run out of time. So thank you very much. Find this article at amaland.com. Thank you very much for joining me today, sir.
It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Back again on Monday. Between now and then, remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment,
we perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high quality distance education using time tested materials and hands on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing.
Go to mgs.edu.
MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.